Welcome to the Pine Talk, episode 8, where we tend to squawk. But this will be great. Don't listen to the hate, it's unnecessary weight. Feel that frisson when you open that gate, getting bullied through chat like a fruit bat, empty soul after that little brat. It's just that some call my poems cringe. Careful now, don't infringe on my cringe, or be prayful that I don't unhinge. Anyway, let's get on with the show. Though, we can take and shape this dough however we like. Whoa, watch out for the tight rhymes that I write, hopefully filling you with such delight. Though, with some time to grow, it'll glow, so perhaps we should take it slow. Though we don't have a quota, we oughta go with the flow. We gotta probably start the show. Yo.
I agree. Hello and welcome to the 8th episode of Pine Talk,
the podcast for the Pine 64 community by members of the Pine 64 community.
I am Peter, dead joke master without kids, not kidding.
And I am Ezra, Fossware poet and content creator. The third and final community quote of the day is by Matt Berger. On Twitter, he says, "We're definitely hitting the same high notes, we're just not singing the same song." So, thank you for that, Matt, for sending it in. I feel like that actually represents pretty well the software development side of PinePhone and PineTime, where there's a lot of good, interesting ideas that everybody's throwing in, but there's also a lot of repetition. A lot of people are have their own vision, but sometimes that leads to, you know, reinventing the wheel more often than not. What do you think?
Yeah, that's, you know, the old problem of open source software in general, I think. Mm-hmm. People scratching their own itch. I could talk about this for longer, but I think we should get started with the show. We will have some community news and, of course, go through some of your feedback and questions. But first, what have you been up to lately?
Well, I'm still working on my point-and-click adventure game. I added some auto-loading features for sound effects and background music. And I worked on some art and some scenes in the game. I'm not very good at art, but, you know, I try. My game is releasing in less than 50 days, so I'm pretty excited about that. Of course, it's open source, and after I release it, I'll probably mess around and try to get it running on a PinePhone, because why not, right? and I'm that close already to getting it running, so I see no reason to not try. And more relevantly, some good news. I got my PineTime, hey, awesome, among other things, too. So finally, I get to talk about the vast array of other products that Pine offers, which to me were a complete mystery. So I'm happy that I have it. I haven't experimented with the PineTime much, but you know, I installed the newest version 1.0 of PineTime, and it's super duper awesome. We're going to talk more about it in the future, and I'm going to make videos about it among the other products. You know, check that out on my YouTube channel, Electronion, also available on Odyssey. Make sure you like, comment, and subscribe. Thank you. What about you, Peter? What have you been up to?
Well, I'm certainly looking forward to what you're coming up with that Pint Cube. Spoiler. Yeah, well, I've been doing a lot. I've been quite busy, actually. My blog, colinmob.net, is now running with Zola, a static site generator written in Rust. It was a lot of work. And because I could not decide on a new design, I decided eventually to bring the old one over, which then took some fixing. So I think I felt almost done with it, like, on Sunday. So, yeah. on the 2nd of May. So I made my 1st of May relaunch, but it wasn't really good then. But I've already written more than I did in the past weeks, so I hope I can keep that up, because that was one of the ideas of making this, bringing old content back, but also making it easier for me to write new one because of having something that works better for me. You know, Zola, I can easily run that on my PinePhone too, so I can have I'm deploying my website with Git, so I can have my repo on the PinePhone and preview what I've done in Zola, and then commit it and push it upstream so that it's on the side. So that's pretty cool, and I look forward to using that more.
That's pretty cool.
So there's still, of course, a lot to do. You know, fixing old posts. Some of them still have images embedded that are hosted on Google and crap like that. But that's not an area of focus right now. I will do that whenever I have time to waste, but can't really do anything because I'm too tired for other things, but can't sleep or something. I don't know. I will do that. I don't know. I'm just noticing that that sounds like I'm never going to do that. I hope that won't happen. Well, anyway, so for now, I'm going to spend most of my time that I use for tasks like website maintenance on a replacement for Lindmob Apps. It's likely going to be Zola-based, and what I'm going to do is first working through the two ad lists, removing some apps and putting them on the archival list, and so on. So working through the content so that that's relatively current, and then I will also write a proposal for a future of Linmob apps, which is likely going to be linuxphoneapps.org, and provide that for discussion. And I hope to be done with that proposal, or whatever you want to call it, that draft, before the next episode of this podcast. If you have ideas or just want to help out, please join the Matrix group that's linked on linmobapps.frama.io. Okay, that was quite long, right?
Oh, it's fine. Am I in that group?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, see? So we're all there. You know, yeah. You want to join the cool group, you know, you gotta go join ahead.
Yeah, let's go on with the news then.
Yes.
The first item we have is a post by Lukasz, or Luke Arizinski, to the forums about the upcoming PinePhone keyboard. So this is not super current. It was posted on the 24th of April, and it has some pictures of the new keyboard and a video, and you should check it out. I think it's quite exciting to still see this coming, but honestly, I just want to have it.
It's so tantalizingly close. It's going to be cool. It's going to be nifty, I think, for sure.
Definitely.
Infinitime 1.0, though. You don't have to wait too long to have that, as it's released.
Yeah. And we both have it.
We both have it, and so we really don't have to wait too long. But yeah, it's super cool. I know I'm enjoying Infinitime, and it definitely has improved both in usability and in polish in the new version since the old one that I used for like a couple minutes before updating.
Yeah. Yeah, what also came along with this was that the PineTime, which previously was just available as a unsealed developer device or a 3-pack, was then available as a 1-pack sealed time PineTime. But, stocks didn't last. So it sold out and is hopefully going to be back in stock in June, from what I'm reading on the store.
I got a pie in time, and you don't.
I got three.
That's just showing off.
I know.
You're wearing two of them on your wrist right now, aren't you?
Yeah. let's briefly go from hardware to software. And Plasma Mobile have released another blog post where they have been detailing their progress. And there's a lot in there. So NeoChat has seen improvements. Eliza, which is a music app that you may know from your Plasma desktop, also works on fonts now quite well. Coco, an image viewer, has seen some improvements and has a small image editor now. Anglefish has a new swipe feature on the navigation bar so that you can easier go back and forward a page, which was a bit clunky before. And the performance has also been improved. And so on. There's a lot more in here. There's a little funny app called Day Countdown, which you can, track your family's birthday with, so that you know that you, when the count is like at 10, you should really try to find a gift or something. And one thing isn't in there, and that's a new app, and it's called Casts with a K, and that's a podcast app, and I tried it today and it's really nice. So, well, I was slightly wrong here. It's in the update, but it was then still planned as a feature for Alligator, which is the feed reader for the Plasma Mobile software ecosystem. And yeah, it's now a separate app, which makes a lot more sense. Mm-hmm. And it isn't really in the proper namespace yet, but what's on there, we'll link it. You can build that relatively easily on your PinePhone. It's not a huge app, and it works great. It even saves the point in time where you've been before you stop playing and then close the app and then continue later. So that's something that was lacking with the other podcast options for the PinePhone. And so this is really a welcome addition for me personally, because I love podcasts. Surprise.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, saving where you are in time is a small yet incredibly useful feature to have.
I mean, with podcasts like ours, that's at most at around 1 hour. It's already annoying if you lose the position and you don't know where you were. Mm-hmm. But think of podcasts that take like 3 or 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
That's terrible, because you sometimes really don't know where in the second hour you've been, right? Like, I stopped somewhere. It was more than 1 hour, but was it 3 already? I don't know. And then you have a lot of scrubbing to do, and with this, you don't. So Casts with a K, great addition to that app ecosystem.
And is it pretty smooth? Like, let's say you do scrub, does it scrub okay?
I didn't really test scrubbing yet, honestly, and I won't do it during this recording. But it is scrubbable. It has a little slider down there. I don't know whether you can actually use it while it's on. But yeah, it's quite nice already.
Good.
Really, I've seen worse 1.0s, and this is a 0.1.
And
speaking of 1.0.
Yeah, I was about to say. Megapixels 1.0.1 has a GTK 4 and an accelerated viewfinder, both of which I didn't get to experience yet because I've refused to update my phone since I installed Manjaro on it, and it's still updating, and then the batteries may have ran out during that update process.
Oh, no.
It's a whole thing, but I can tell you my experience with the old version of Megapixels, whatever version I was running, which I don't even know, yeah. But you know, the version we all know.
Or something.
Peter can be can tell us how much awesomer it is, because I remember it being excited anyway. I was happy that it displayed anything at all. You know, I got to see that greenish tint of the camera.
Yeah.
This absolute pine accentuation. It's quite wonderful, but it was so laggy. Like, I'd aim at something and I'd have to wait a few seconds before something showed up on the screen. Has that changed?
Yeah, that has changed. I think it's a lot smoother. Megapixels had this blue screen bug, not blue screen as in Windows failed, but blue screen as in there was tinted blue after first launch on the main camera, and you had to basically switch cameras twice or just kill the app and restart it to fix that. This bug is gone. It's, I don't know, it's not 60 FPS, but 30 maybe, I think. It feels like 30 FPS now.
That's good.
And yeah, so it's pretty good. And the results are also nice. Just check out that shot on PinePhone hashtag on the Fediverse or Twitter in the coming days. And you'll find a lot. And maybe I'll link something in the show notes about this. But this is definitely a huge improvement, and I think we should have Martin on eventually.
Heck yeah. It would be
quite interesting. Also, while adding this, I felt like, what about a PinePhone app of the fortnight, or maybe app of the episode as a segment for this podcast? Please leave feedback if you would find this interesting. And now, let's get back to the Pine Time. Ezra, you got your Pine Time earlier today, if I'm not completely mistaken.
Yeah, today. I woke up, I didn't have a Pine Time, and then I did have a Pine Time. So, yeah, I checked the tracking, and there it was. So I'm pretty new to what I got to test. You're pretty much with me, like, for the most of my experimentation, but you know, just everything I was saying earlier. But there are a lot of good things that I can say right now as a first impression, which is, one, wearing it on my wrist right now, it's super light. It's just as light as any other digital watch.
Yeah.
And lighter than even some normal, you know, watches, since it's not made out of metal. It's digital, and the screen and battery isn't that heavy. And it's not clunky at all either. It's like really, it's surprisingly like normal, if you know what I mean, which is strange to say. But I think I think that's really cool that it looks like a normal watch, and feels like a normal watch, and even behaves like a normal watch, a smartwatch, that is, I suppose, as well. Obviously, it doesn't do none of the fancy things your expensive watches can do, but, like, these watches aren't that expensive either, which is, you know, really cool, I think. I mean, it's a watch, too. Like, don't need that.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be, like, that hard to run, like, your average stuff. But yeah, we to install the new update to Infinitime, which is what I wanted to try out. I used Siglo by recommendation of you, Peter. So thank you for telling me how all that works. So I used Siglo, and that allows you to flash the firmware of your PineTime through the air. That is super duper awesome and super duper scary, I find, anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, right?
Well, there's no other way to update this thing, so I mean, good that's point. What we have to use.
It's just what happens if, you know, it doesn't work.
Yeah, but it's designed. So I had flash attempts failing, and I didn't manage to break a pint time, so it's fine. And I think, but really, Alex Robinson did a great job at designing this app. It's quite basic, but it does the important things, and that's what's important, right? So it's simply
the
enough,
things are important.
But you know, it allows you to just download the releases of InfiniTime, so you don't have to go to the website in the later releases. I think you had an older version on Manjaro, right?
Yeah, I did. So I just downloaded the release off of GitHub. But, you know, it worked perfectly fine nonetheless, right? So I had only, you know, I mean, not issues that aren't known. Like, it took a few tries before it saw the thing connected, but it says that on the app itself. So, and then I only had one time where it failed during the process, which was the first time. And I tried it, and it just says error and goes back to whatever it was running before. So I would say, like you were saying, like a really good job on everybody's part, I think, for making sure that the process doesn't fail.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Definitely. I mean, I think there's no other way to flash these, right? If you want to flash them with or debug them for development, you have to get one of those unsealed developer units. Mm-hmm. And there's also there's also something in the store where you can, I think, buy one sealed and one unsealed for exactly that purpose now. So if you want to get that, that's also an option if you really want to get into development beyond. I don't know. I don't think you need this to develop watch faces. That's something that I noticed because I've been having this for the past week. And so I was like, okay, there are watch faces. How do I flash them? Oh, this looks like it's the entire OS. But yeah, that's how it is currently with InfiniTime. If you want a new watch face, you just reflash the entire OS, and then you've got the OS with one more watch face, or a replaced digital watch face often, and that's fine.
Yeah, it's good for now. You know, we'll see what new tech people, new stacks people make, new processes.
Yeah, I mean, there are different OSs, so you know, I've been looking into VASP OS too. So I took another one of my 3-pack of PineTimes and decided, okay, this is going to be my VASP OS PineTime because VASP OS uses MicroPython, and that's quite interesting because I can at least somewhat read Python. It's easy enough. So I figured, like, if I want to do something with this, that's where I could get started. And I had seen videos about it, so it seemed pretty good. And I read the instructions. And I was just brave and figured, let's just use Cyclo and see if we can't flash that VASP OS bootloader that you need to flash first, because that's a two-step flash process to the PineTime. And that works. But after that, you currently need an Android phone that has a certain app. We'll link the instructions for that. There is one for the Pine phone, an app that's called VASP Companion. And you're supposed to build it via Flatpak. But the thing is, it doesn't build because a dependency is missing. I think that was the org.gnome.sdk 338 or something. 3.338. That's not available anymore. So it doesn't find the download neither on both on Arch 64, so both on ARM and both on AMD. So, yeah. Not good. I tried to get that then running by modifying, because that Vesper companion is also just Python. And I figured, okay, let's adjust some path here and there and figure out the dependencies, install them manually, and then maybe it will run. But I didn't get that to work. So that's something that's not as great, because like this, you've got no companion app on your Pine phone. Mm-hmm. I think that MS Fish can work as a Vasp OS companion, because it has two items in its menu for the Pine Time. One is called Infinity Time, the other is called Pine Time. But the problem is that I didn't really get it to sync or pair or anything on my Arch Linux ARM install, at least. So, yeah, if you've got success there, please tell me about it. And then there's a third option, potentially, and that's an Android companion app. That's also, it's not called Vasp companion, but Vasp OS companion. And that seems to be a Flutter app, so it might be possible to bring it over to the Pine phone. Because, by the way, recently, FluffyChat, a Flutter Matrix client, became available for the Pine phone, and that's also running quite well in its second Flatpak release, I think.
That's pretty cool.
Back to the Pine Time. So I have to admit, generally, that earlier I wasn't really interested in this. So before I started with Pine Talk, and people asked me, hey, and us both, right, hey, what's up with Pine Time? We're so excited for Pine Time. I was like, yeah, man, I've got this Pebble Time Steel. I've had it since 2015 or something, and it's still working, so I'm going to keep that. I don't need a new smartwatch. Mm-hmm. And the Pine Time is lighter, despite this being an LCD screen and not something reflective. I think the battery life with Infinity Time has been comparable. So I'm not using that heart rate measurement constantly. So that helps with battery life, right? And I don't know how often I charged this. Maybe once now in all this week I've had it. So I'm fine with that. And it's generally pretty nice. Both Infinity Time and also Vasp OS are nice little OSs. I mean, they both have their rough edges. So in Infinity Time, you can't set the clock. That's what you need a Cyclo or a Math Fish for. And on Vasp OS, you can do that, but then Vasp OS has other problems. Like I said, there's no working companion app currently that I know of. So, yeah, so there's work to be done. But given that this is really quite a special product that's not running Linux, but some RTOS, and it's in its infancy, it's really impressive and it's pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Impressively good, actually.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, there's with Infinite Time, I noticed like some they do like a smooth scroll animation when you switch pages. And like, I have a few ideas on how they did it, but I don't know. There's something about the fact that even though it's a bit of a cheat, like it's super smooth and you don't really notice it when you use it, and it's like it runs super duper smooth.
Yeah, it's really silky smooth. Sometimes you would wish that your Pine phone was that smooth all the time.
I know, right? You heard it here first. Peter thinks that the Pine Time runs smoother than the Pine phone.
I'm not saying that. It's different scope.
The different scope, for sure.
Different OS.
One's goal is to make phone calls. The other one is to tell you what time it is.
I mean, maybe, I think if you were to run a similarly simple OS, just assuming that this is relatively simple given the limited compute resources of PineTime, on the PinePhone, it should also be super smooth, right?
Yeah, well, I hope that at some point certain optimizations are done for PinePhone specific things. Like, I don't know, like the PineTime, like I was mentioning, the scrolling, you know, that's very specific to the PineTime, but you know, it just works so well. And I mean, cheat or no cheat, like if it does what it's supposed to do at the end of the day, you know.
Yeah. Although, I mean, it has gotten better on the PinePhone.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Having a PinePhone since June, and it's so much better. So much smoother. Battery life's better. Everything's improved. Well, way beyond what I thought likely, honestly. So, I'm quite happy there. And there's still some potential here and there, of course.
Yeah, I was going to say that, I 100% agree, but I still see it possible to squeeze more out of it.
Definitely. The sky's the limit.
The sky's the limit. So, GG to all you developers out there. You're doing a great job. Keep up the good work. PineTime, PinePhone, all alike. You guys are awesome.
Yeah.
Although, why is there a flashlight app on that?
That's are bad at finding your keys or using keys for the door, maybe. Yeah,
it's a watch, man.
But it's also it's on both OSs, so it's also on AspOS, and I think there are more PineTime OSs. So, yeah, get your PineTime questions in now, or more importantly, tell us what you like about PineTime if you have one, and what you're using. I also have to say thank you to, I didn't prepare this, of course, to a nice person in the PineTalk Discord that built that Casio watch face for me. That's really great, because I had some fake Casio style watch face on my Pebble for years, so I was just used to this, and that was great to just post that there. Hey, I would like to see this, and then suddenly receive it. That's quite awesome. Thank you so much.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
Nice to see the generosity of the community.
Thank you so much, Electrolyte. Great. Now let's go over to the listener questions, right?
Yes. So Sleep Dealer from Mastodon asks us, hey, at Talk Pine, do any of the PinePhone OS offerings have a voice keyboard or Mycroft type assistant? # ask Pine Talk.
Well, you can, just like on your Linux desktop, find some speech to text software and wire that up in your PinePhone if you want to, and then you've got a voice keyboard, but you kind of need to implement parts of it for yourself, right?
Yeah.
That's the current state.
And yeah,
there's a Mycroft Assistant app front end that was at least for a while on the Manjaro developer betas. Or not betas, those daily builds, you know, daily dev builds. And with Plasma Mobile, I tested that in a video, but you would have to hook it up to a full Minecraft install, which I think you could run on your PinePhone too, but Yeah, that might use more resources than you would like. So you should rather put that on something on your local network, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, it's possible there are things for that. There are multiple projects that go into this assistant thingy role that I've seen. I sadly don't recall all of them, and I haven't really tried them because I'm not a huge voice assistant or smart home or smart whatnot person. I'm You're rather not a smart stupid person. And do everything myself. Yeah, I close my windows with my bare hands. Did you ever try Minecraft on your PinePhone?
I never tried it on my PinePhone. I only got it working on. I got it working on my desktop. I never did try it on the PinePhone.
How well did it work for you? Because I never tried it on the desktop either.
It worked super well, but I had some setting up issues, and whenever I tried to change the action word, which is like you say, like, hey, Minecraft, or you can also say other
computer.
Ones. Yeah, well, they have like some predefined ones, and you have to whatever choose from it. And one of them was hey Ezra, so I chose that one, of course.
Okay, that's great when somebody's visiting you.
Yeah, it's absolutely wonderful. But sadly, my hilarities could not take place because after I did that, it just refused to listen to me. So it took a few like reboots and resets and putting it back to Minecraft until it listened to its own name. Okay. I don't know why, but I'll call you Minecraft then, whatever. It's not like I wanted a robot with my name anyway. But otherwise, it was pretty cool, and I liked how it can control your system, which is what I think would be interesting also on a PinePhone, which is like, you know, I can be like, oh, hey, Minecraft, you know, put the volume to 25%, and it'll set it your volume to 25% on
hey,
your
Minecraft,
system itself.
Enable the flashlight.
Yeah. Well, I assume that you know, especially with its easy customization, you could just link up, you know, certain actions to voice commands, which is where it could also be pretty useful. It could be nifty to have it on your phone because it could, like, well, I mean, it's just whatever Google did too. You know, you could be like, how do I get here? And it opens up like the map app with the directions, you know, set in, right?
Yeah. Well, so then we would have to have great maps apps. We've got some. I mean, Pure Maps is all right, and GNOME Maps is also fine. But yeah, when I'm reading all these comments, well, I will switch to the PinePhone as my daily driver once it has a maps app that at least at OSM and, you know, OpenStreetMap Android, a really full-featured client level, then I'm like, yeah, at least at that level. Like, I will build a house once it's fully furnished. Doesn't make sense to me when people are like that, but that's just me. So let's go on with the next question, and that was asked by Epicanis on Twitter. Would a hypothetical new redesigned PineTap 2 with more easily sourced parts be more feasible than chasing unavailable parts for the current PineTap?
Listen.
Yeah.
I know we look like experts. But we're just the beautiful voices that spread information. Usually correct information. When you ask us, I suppose hypothetically it would make sense, but you have to think about, like, you know, the design. Usually, like, I don't know what I'm talking about, but I assume even things that on paper could be like drop-in, drop-out replacements are going to cause some amount of hassle.
Yeah, the thing is, when you change parts, you will have to likely redesign at least parts of your board. Yeah. So you will have to go through multiple revisions again to make sure that this is production ready.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you likely won't get it right on the first try. as a reason why the current PinePhone iteration is 1.2b. 1.2 was supposed to be fine, but oops. mistakes happen, and you don't always catch them in testing. So, the problem currently is just that all parts are either unavailable or super expensive. And the PineTap, as it is envisioned, as far as I understand it, no expert there, a product that is supposed to meet that really low $100 price point. And when those parts are just too expensive because they cost, like, I don't know, 4 or even 10 times what they normally cost, then, or have long lead times, so you can't get them all in time, then it just doesn't make sense to produce it. So until the supply and the market goes back to, well, a new normal, because it likely won't be exactly the old normal, right? Until it finds some kind of equilibrium, as the economists say, this will be tough. And I think there might be a point in time where Pine64 might come up with another tablet or might be able to make some more Pine tabs as they were originally envisioned. But currently, it's not really looking good. And this is really affecting everybody. I mean, it's hitting the big car manufacturers that are billion-dollar companies. So, I mean, what do you expect Pine64 to do about that, realistically?
Poor widow Pine.
Yeah.
They're doing their best, man.
They're doing their best, really. Honestly, I believe that sincerely.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure. I mean, like you said, if the big boys are having a hard time, I mean, of course... Like, we're trying, you know. It's not obvious what to do for anybody, I think, too. Do you design new things? Do you wait until the new old parts are available? Do you
and how
make
long,
your own processor?
How long will those new parts that you pick be available at that price? Right now, you just can't tell. Therefore, redesigning doesn't really solve the issue because it's a supply issue. Not a design issue.
That's the world's...
From what I understand.
That's going to be 2021 in a nutshell, isn't it?
Yeah. It's like toilet paper. Yeah. And there was no toilet paper in early 2020. But worse, because this is not toilet paper. It's more complex.
Yeah. First they take our toilet paper, now this...
They take our ships.
They take our ships.
Yeah, and displays and whatnot. It's all more expensive. Okay. And so then,
hopefully that answered your question.
Yeah, we hope that this helps. So, lastly, I think this came in via email. I didn't really notice this here. So, Ishep asks, I recently saw that NixOS was on the list of the OSs for the PinePhone. My first thought that this would give me a good reason to finally take a look at Nix. After far too much reading on how to install Nix, I was unable to get an image compiled to try it out. Oh well, guess I gotta keep at it still. I was wondering if either of y'all have come across anyone who has played with Nix on the PinePhone and if it is a viable OS for it. Cheers, Ishep. Well, thank you for that question. Ezra, have you played with NixOS on the PinePhone or any other computer?
I have not. I'm pretty sure I've barely even heard of it. Although, if I do remember, the icon might look something like a snowflake. Or am I completely mistaken?
It's something blue, snowflakey, yeah.
Yeah, I have not played with it.
You're totally correct there, yeah.
Awesome. Well, yeah, I have not played with it, but it definitely looked unique and interesting.
So,
what about you? Do you know anybody who's played with it?
I didn't try it, and I don't know anyone who did, actually. So I don't recall seeing a video of somebody demoing this. I didn't see much about this on Twitter. I might have eventually, but my memory, you know, I can't say, oh, on the 2nd of August, I remember exactly. No, sorry, my memory is not good enough for that. So I think we maybe need to briefly try to explain what Nix is. So Nix is a way to come up with infrastructure that is defined by a couple of files that are basically configuration files that then build the entire system. So it's, in a way, then reproducible.
Interesting.
And
that's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. So you would run all the same software as long as there are Nix files for that.
Mm-hmm.
So I know some people that do stuff with Nix, but they do it on server side. So they deploy Nextcloud and stuff like that with Nix. And that would be what I would use it for. I have once tried to do something with Nix, and that was using a pre-built Nix image for the Pinecube. But that didn't work for me. But I didn't try real long. So, yeah, I went back to Armbian because I felt like this is a system where I understand what it's doing and how to update it. So I'll keep that. But NixOS is definitely interesting, and I think it is viable. But you have to be somewhat of a Nix master, I think, to package up all the software that you would want on a phone, because that's likely not, you will not find the files to build the software just in the Nix repos, because there's NixOS mobile, so a base set will be there, but I doubt like that stuff like, I don't know, MSFish or Cyclo are already available for Nix easily. And then, so it's interesting. It's something that I would love to look into if I had, like, I don't know, a long holiday.
Yeah.
And then a fresh brain and could wrap my head around it. But it's unfortunately unlikely.
And for you, if you at home want to try NixOS, maybe, before trying to get it working on a PinePhone, try getting it working on, like, I don't know, something else, an old computer, to get your, like you were saying, like, to, you know, you'd almost have to be a Nix pro. You got to kind of know what you're doing. So try it on a virtual machine. Try getting your feet wet. And, like, nonetheless, that's the whole point of this in the community, right? Have fun, experiment, learn. And as you become better with Nix, experiment then on getting it working on the PinePhone. Anyway, that's what I suggest. I don't know. How about you?
I agree. And that's our questions for this week. Thank you for sending these questions in. Please, everybody, if you've got a question, there are no dumb questions. Just send it in and have us answer it. Or if you've got a comment on something we said, maybe you can send in a simple MP3 recording of yours, and we can play it on the show so that we've got audio feedback in the show. That would be something that we've talked about before, but it didn't happen. We didn't receive any files, so maybe if you've got an okay microphone, just try that.
Yeah,
that would be great. We're really looking forward.
Even if you don't, give it a try.
To your feedback and questions, and please keep them coming because they are essential. Because this is supposed to be a community podcast, so we are not always the best at being super active on the forums or Twitter and Mastodon. I've been quite bad at that lately. I explained earlier in the show why, because sadly my day only has 24 hours. We try to be better at that, and thanks for your questions. They are highly appreciated.
We really do appreciate it. It's, this is not the Ezra and Peter podcast.
No. The Ezra and Peter Show.
Yeah.
By the way, I had been talking about podcast directories for a while, and after the last episode was recorded, I noticed that we are now on Gpodder. Yeah. I don't know how this happened, but we are listed on Gpodder, which caused my hair to go gray. No, not really. And while we are at awesome stuff, once more, a huge thanks to NerdZoom Media for being our excellent audio producers.
And that's it for this episode. Thank you for listening. We'll be back in 2 weeks, as always.
And remember, once again, I just said it, but I will say it again. This is a community podcast, so please leave feedback on what we should do better. Get your suggestions in and feel free to ask questions.
You can't spell community without unity. So let's unite and... I don't know where to go from this. So you can join the Discord channel, pinetalk-podcast on Pine64's Discord. You can send us an email at pinetalk@pine64.org and tweet at us. We're at TalkPine. We've joined Mastodon. We're at talkpine@fostodone.org. If you can't remember these names, just use the hashtag AskPine. Talk.
Yes, do that. Thank you for listening and talk to you soon. Bye bye.
Bye bye.